Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Different levels of support. There's a 25, a 35, and a 50-hour level. Which is best for you?
Is this a recording?
Oh, you've upset the mainframe.
This is how they get you. The deprogramming your brain as we speak.
Yeah, exactly. We've lost him.
Say O'Mara's. When you owned O'Mara's.
Yeah.
And before, you didn't have...
Stop it.
If you had...
I loved you talking about looking out the window and seeing the revelers. Did you see any on the streets last night?
Hardcore raging alcoholics because it was raining.
Oh, it was the worst Halloween.
It was storming.
Yes.
So if you were going to go out in that, you had to get your fit.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now.
Rob, you can start.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That was gross.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah,
Mike
O'Mara Show.
Let's get started. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Am I the one who liked
Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
That's really soft in my headphones, but we didn't do a sound check. Live from the Podville Media.
What?
I'm in a goofy mood. I had a late night last night with my friend Scott, who is another elderly
Scott. Scott!
I rearranged my studio. Oh, my back hurts. Live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world, you are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Welcome to the party. Please join us along with our friends in great cities like Prince Frederick, Maryland, not a city. Mountain View, Arkansas, still not a city. Todos Santos, Mexico, don't know whether it's a city. Bora Bora in the Leeward Islands, great destination, not a city. Calistoga, California, suburb, not a city. And Indropoli, Queensland, Australia. So that tells me I'm not going to have Rob bring me all cities. It tells me that I have to rewrite the opening. In great locations.
There you are.
But I'd like to say, I'll figure it out.
All
something
right.
Sexier than
serving 100
location.
Million listeners.
And by the way, when Pony says, Rob, we're ready to go, there's a lot of time when I will listen to the YouTube video. I'll watch the YouTube video that Pony's on it. Like you get that screen before we roll tape, and it's like, all right, we're live.
He's on camera.
No, he says it. He's on audio. And
he trims it. He trims it on the audio.
Yeah, I think he knows it, and he likes the being at the front end of the show.
Yeah,
that's my theory. I couldn't be wrong.
A power move.
Yeah, it's like when Matt says he does something for me, and then he leaves the office, and then he completely burns me, and I have to call him and say, "Hey, why would you burn me? Do you hate me? If you hate me, just tell me you hate me. I'd rather you tell me you hate me."
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, here we are. Yeah. Just like the current state of our politics. Yeah. Conspiracy theories abound on our show. And I want to speak about that just briefly.
All right.
And then we can move on with Halloween fun and all the great stuff that's going on. But I have to talk about this Nancy Pelosi husband deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The attack.
The attack. But I'll, you know, this is getting to a level that I don't think we've seen in a very long time. I think the idea of rando things is probably of the last 15 years or so, where, you know, you have people that get attacked, you get the, and it's just, to me, an example of nothing more insidious than our collective lack of maturity. Mm. And specifically, and I don't care if it pisses you off, an overwhelming lack of maturity on the right. You know, you can say insurrection all day long, but you know, really, what I would say to people that say, it wasn't an insurrection, I said, fine, if you don't like the word insurrection, how about this? A collective, infantile inability to accept a loss. We are taught as children to accept loss. If your team loses, you can bitch, you can shout, I do it, and then you move on with life. You move it on.
Why are you soft-selling that it was an insurrection? It was.
Because it's semantics, and I'm tired of... Because I'm glad you asked me that, okay? Let me tell you why I'm soft-selling semantics. Because I think that when you're dealing with toddlers, Oscar, when you're dealing with an infantile way of thinking, if you want to communicate with those infantile toddler folks, you perhaps need to dumb down the lingo. And so I dumb down the lingo. If you don't want to, if you're on the, you know, on that team and you want to say it's not an insurrection, I'm going to dumb it down for you. I said, collectively, it was a giant tantrum that resulted in people dying. Now, because let me tell you why I say that. Because I think that ultimately you get into a situation where at its extreme, you would have political leaders assassinated. Mm-hmm. I think it very well could have happened. It could have happened easily in that mob mentality.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
What I don't believe is that, and I've always felt this way. You know, somebody get me a dictionary definition of insurrection, because I think it probably does apply, as Oscar's
it does.
Suggesting here. And I'd like to hear it. So what I get frustrated about is that, you know, this collective inability to accept the truth, fanned by the man himself, who either knew it or didn't know it. Yeah, lay it on me, please.
This is from the Oxford Dictionary. Insurrection, noun. A violent uprising against an authority or government.
There it is.
It couldn't be any clearer.
Couldn't be more textbook.
Right.
So, and you get the, you know, I get a lot of people down here in Red Country.
Yeah, I was like, you've been in Florida for way too long.
Yeah.
No, you're not hearing me. You're not listening to the point I'm trying to make. The point is a larger point regarding the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband out in San Francisco.
What are you trying to say, good sir?
What?
Because you said, I don't want to go into semantics about the insurrection. It was an insurrection.
Okay, but what I'm doing now is I'm just identifying the cause of the insurrection. I'm identifying the dumbing down of language of people, because you get a lot of people that semantically are going to want to argue about that. But just a bunch of people getting mad. And I'm saying that doesn't matter when you're talking about your little tantrum. And
it's am I taking crazy pills here? Because you keep on saying,
you know what would be helpful?
Yes.
If I was able to f-ing establish the point and then maybe without moody hat wearer coming in and interrupting me every 5 seconds. Let me make my point.
Okay.
And then you can tell me whether I'm going crazy.
Do you need some water to get those pills down?
I'm good.
Okay, good.
The point I'm trying to make is that every time there is bad behavior, every time something is done horribly, there's a regular pattern of distancing people from it, of softening it. If your team does something egregious, if your team does something horrible, you don't want to hear those bad words like insurrection.
Right.
And so my point was about that particular event. Okay, let's not call it an insurrection for the sake of your semantics. Let's call it an infantile overreaction to your toddler-like inability to accept the reality that your team lost, that resulted in a riot. And I like riot just as much as I like insurrection. But then we get, you know, flash forward to another politically motivated incident, which now immediately, before it even was going wide on the news, the conspiracy theorists began to lay it on. And now you've got people from that team that want to make light of it and turn it into a joke that an 80-plus-year-old man was smacked in the head and had his skull fractured with a hammer, and then create this scenario based on bigotry that he knew the guy. And it's San Francisco, so of course he'd brought him home from a gay bar. I mean, what the F? You know what I mean? I'm so sick of this. I really am. And I'm so sick of the concept in this country that if you agree with me politically, that you can do whatever that you will defend anything, any words, any actions. If you can't defend it, you'll create a scenario to either mock it, which they've done. And what Donald Trump Jr., you know, daddy's bootlicker with his memes about the Halloween costume. I'm like, there is just, we have created a society now, not only in that you can call it divisive and division, but it's this infantile inability to accept personal responsibility or acknowledge that your team has somebody that, you know, wigged out by the rhetoric, did something like this. And by the way, and there's going to also be, what's the other argument going to be? Well, that happens on both sides. Yeah, okay, but we're talking about this attack
this
right
incident,
now.
This incident, right, right.
And they're, and you know, and to, it doesn't matter to me at the moment. And I'm going to tell you, as a Democrat, if somebody broke into Mitch McConnell's house and hit him in the head with a hammer, I'd want to puke. Yeah. I'd be disgusted. I would take ownership as a Democrat that people that might have some similar beliefs that I do did something so heinous and reprehensible, and I wouldn't wait a second. And I'm sorry if this is going to piss people off, but my particular way of thinking is that you immediately condemn it. And you're not hearing that. You're not hearing it. What you're hearing are political rallies like the gubernatorial candidate down in Arizona making a flip comment and getting a laugh about an 80-year-old man hit in the head with a hammer. And this springs from rhetoric that ramps it up. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, two decades of turning her into a demon. And because of her political beliefs. And I had to vent on it a little bit. So now that I've explained myself.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I'll dumb it down if you want to argue with me, because I get it down here with people. It wasn't an insurrection. I said, okay, I'll just call it this then. Because I don't care about the semantics. Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was wrong. People died. More people would have died if things went south with that. That's the point I was trying to make.
So I don't even look at it as semantics. It's just fact. So
sometimes that doesn't work in our society anymore. Unfortunately, I agree with you.
So that's what I was like.
Do you understand though that what I was trying to say?
I understand.
Here?
I understand. So. Call it what you will. It was an insurrection. Have them look that up. The coddling of, okay, you don't like that word. You don't like fact. Then what is it?
You might be confusing coddling Oscar down here with
navigating.
What would I call it? Survivability, existing. Mm-hmm. I got a guy that, thinks the way I do and whispers to me. It's ridiculous down there.
Oh, my God.
So this guy the other day, that's what this was based on. This guy the other day was saying there wasn't an insurrection. I said, he's not like me. Yeah. Tell him to F off.
Yeah.
Which I don't do, but where was I reading here? Were we talking about it on this show?
I was at the dog park this past week, weekend. And a gentleman from Kansas, hi, Kansas. Doesn't represent you. I get it. Politics are different everywhere. Fine. He's like just talking to me and he's like rattling off similar, viewpoints that you get from the other side.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'm just here for the weekend for business. We brought our dog, this and that. And I'm like, okay, great. And he starts speaking, he's liberals and the gridlock on the Hill and everybody trying to figure out their pronouns. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you don't know that you're talking to, no one knows.
Right. I have no idea whether that happens more on one side or the other. I think it has a lot to do with where you live. You get conditioned. I know down here, I can tell you get conditioned to make the assumption. It happens to me monthly that someone will be popping off and just assume.
Yeah.
That I am like-minded. Maybe because of where I live, I never assume that. I creep into those conversations. I just go like this. We're probably in the past I used to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it brings up another thing I wanted to say about where we are with empathy and compassion. And that to me is sorely lacking. And because I consider myself somebody who feels for other people when something goes down, I show empathy. I think we are coming off probably the least empathetic politician I've ever seen in Donald Trump. Well, I just don't think he had it. He didn't have the chip. Obviously, his son doesn't have the chip when you're, you know, putting that kind of stuff out there. It's not just because it's Nancy Pelosi doesn't mean it's not a human being. It's a sad situation. And to make a joke about it shows a total lack of
empathy. We live in our own echo chambers, but I didn't miss a beat. I said, sir, I said, I'm captain pronoun. Like I within our signatures of the firm we work with, we have our pronouns laid out.
You
our
preferred live it.
Pronouns.
Like, you run a business.
It's what it is.
Got to do it.
And I said, you know, with due respect, I said, if you took a moment to maybe understand a little bit more, you'd realize that it's not about you.
True.
But more importantly, like for me, I feel like the within our backyard as we record this in the nation's capital, like our world headquarters. You had a Justice Kavanaugh was being stalked by an assailant in Chevy Chase, Maryland, right?
Yeah.
So these are the fact, the difference between this and what happened to, was it Paul Pelosi?
Yeah, Paul. I believe his name is Paul Pelosi.
Is that the person got in the home and almost killed him with a hammer.
Yeah.
Like, and what was his reaction? I'm curious what his reaction was to that.
And he goes, oh, like I should probably know being here in the Capitol that
there. So that's where he went immediately.
Like, of course,
being here, we're all you lefties. Yeah. And where are you from?
Yeah,
where are you from? Are you a minority?
Well, this is how it started. The whole conversation is like, hey, let me ask you, like, who usually lives around here? I see a lot of young people. I said, I'm probably the oldest on this block near the dog park, right near GW. I was like, GW's right there. Georgetown's right there. He goes, yeah. He's like, must be some trust fund kids, huh? And I said, I was sitting there. I'm like,
wow.
What is happening, dude?
He just came out swinging. That's all he's got.
It's 10:30 in the morning. Like, we're at a dog park.
Weird.
Yeah.
But I think when you have lack of empathy, that dovetails into lack of situational awareness, lack of compassion. All these things are kind of related. And
it also leads to political gridlock because
I have been told or a friend. There may be a friend of mine who has sought out some professional advice.
Yes.
From people who know how to negotiate. How do we say this delicately? They know how to negotiate the complex world of interpersonal communication. Mm. And one of the things I was this person was instructed.
Mike's having trouble with his pronouns.
To say, when you confront something like this, is why do you feel that way? As opposed to instant confrontation, instant judgment, why do you feel that way? Now, you would probably get a wonderful response to that. But let's say if you were, and there are probably circumstances where you wouldn't want to deal with it. But, when you would say, trust fund babies in at this dog park, why do you think that?
Yeah.
And as soon as you do that, then they have to kind of justify that massive generalization or stereotype.
That's a better way to approach it. I just was, yeah.
Well,
I was
maybe,
so taken
maybe
aback.
It is, maybe it isn't. It's maybe better for you than to and obviously you didn't get into a conflict with this person. But and you've been able, I think, forever to negotiate dealing with people, and I certainly have been based on where I live. I have to deal with it every day. And it doesn't, at least around me, there are two reasons for that. Either people know me and they know that they don't want to bring that up around me, but I think it's more people are kind of burned on it a little bit. Mm. But when we have something like this happen, it all gets stirred up again.
Yeah. Sure.
And suddenly you've got, it was his, the 82-year-old man brought the gay lover back And they were both in their underwear because of a local news report that, you know, it's just so quick to just think of the guy that was attacked, the victim, so quick to just come up with anything
when
possible.
When you talk about a lack of empathy, it's so underscored by the fact that something like this would happen, which in any, I mean, by any definition, it's a tragedy. Someone in their own home, an older person in their own home attacked, but it's not an opportunity. And if you see it as an opportunity to make your side look better than the other, that shows no empathy whatsoever. Well, and that's a broken society.
It also doesn't help. Like there were days in the past where a story like this would come out and you'd be like, oh man, that's just like this is a tabloid rag, right? You wouldn't even like go there.
Right.
But you have to discuss these things because it's coming out in mainstream media, and you also have the, you know, Elon Musk tweeting things and then deleting them, and then like he's not adding to any, he's not helping.
Right.
No.
I'm so glad I didn't get a Tesla. I'm so glad I never bought one.
God knows what's in his brain too.
His
overactive, brilliant mind.
Yeah.
God help us with that. But we'll see. I just think that this is the politics of hate, that we live in that era of the politics of hate. And will it last? Will it stick around? Who knows? I have no idea. But it is getting to this point where, look, I think you have to use your platform a little bit to shout it down. This is an 82-year-old man that was attacked. Yeah. Is he married to the poster child for hatred from the right? Absolutely. Nancy Pelosi has been vilified for years and years and
Well, for many reasons. One, because she's a woman.
Right.
Right? For the majority of her career.
She's a powerful woman. She's a Democrat.
Yeah. I mean, one of the highest levels of praise, I think I might have shared this on the show, and if I hadn't, I'm sorry. I had a high-level staff member who was one of my classmates in business school for for Boehner, right? When he was Speaker of the House his last year. And she, you know, she's a staunch Republican, and she said that of all the people on the Hill, people that no one ever wants to cross ever, it was Nancy Pelosi because of the power that she wielded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a reason that a lot of people that would hear that would hate her more when they hear that.
Sure.
Yeah, but how do you survive in politics for 30 years at the highest bastions of power?
Remember when she was not going to be speaker, when they were mounting a little challenge to her with that? But getting back to this whole thing of them versus us, I don't like everything that Nancy Pelosi does or says. I don't like everything that Democrats do or say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like certain candidates that are running in this election that I think are a good alternative, but I'm not happy with it. Not happy with that situation in Pennsylvania. Although I like John Fetterman's politics, it frustrates me as well that he was not forthcoming with his medical records. But I saw the debate, and I think he's getting the help he needs, and I think he could. I think he hopefully will recover from it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have him than Dr. Oz, but you know. But we look, it's just look, I think that we are in a situation now where if you disagree with me, if you feel differently than I am, I don't consider you a monster. And I wish you didn't consider me a monster, a liar, that I don't love my country, that, you know, and on your, you know, if I'm speaking to the loyal opposition, I will tell you, well, I don't go around with an F Trump T-shirt either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, you know, I support your guys. But anyway, I'm done with my little spiel. I hope for a full recovery from the speaker's husband.
Yes.
Who's an old man. And I just think the people that make light of it more than anything else, that is just so beyond the pale. That really is. It's just, it's lower than low to do that. You know, they didn't even do that in the older days. You know, they really didn't. Not make light of somebody that was almost murdered. And by the way, I think if they'd gotten their hands on, if that mob had gotten their hands on Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi that day of the insurrection, I think there's a very good chance they would have been severely, severely attacked and perhaps murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You
know?
I agree.
That sucks too. So I don't know. Will we ever get beyond this? Will we ever get beyond? Because what it's resulting in is bad people ascending to positions of power. Well, and I just can't give up.
I don't want to call it. It is. It's a fight for democracy. I think it is too.
You are allowed to have a different opinion. That's what it's all based on.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
And by the way, when it comes to the economy, I've always been kind of a fence sitter when it comes to certain policies of supply and demand and macro and micro and all the good things about economics. I think you can make. I don't think it's etched in stone. I think it's fluid.
Yeah.
And I also can make a case for the person sitting in the White House doesn't necessarily control it. I think the markets control it, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't. I just want us to stop this.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks. It sucks. And, you know, it was Halloween last night, you know, and I took my kid out and my buddy, the other elderly father, my buddy Scott and his wife came over with their twins. And it was my kind of Halloween. We followed the kids in Scott's giant SUV with a cocktail. And it was absolute bliss. Last year we hoofed it. He's in better shape than I am, but he's got a bum knee.
Yeah.
And he didn't like the fact that we hoofed it as much. And this year, Carla remembered that and said, well, why don't we just take the kids over to the part of our neighborhood where everybody's handing out candy and we'll just kind of follow them around. Was bliss.
Yes. I'm surprised you didn't use the golf cart. Golf cart would have been.
I don't have it.
Oh, that's right.
It's not here. It's somewhere else.
Damn it.
And then as soon as the trick-or-treating began, you guys went on some sort of a texting orgy that I can't keep up with. And I've had trouble keeping up with these massive things Oscar sends out that are the size of a thimble that I can't see. And it's frustrating.
You have to open the preview screen.
You got to open. Just go hold your hand down.
Yeah, you can't look at the little guy.
Yeah, the little guy will give you nothing.
Little guy is nothing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. 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 God, I'm so glad I didn't open that.
See?
Oh
my God. Yeah, I am trying to help you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's magnificent. Mm-hmm. That's really.
Terrific. I had the recall.
Well, let me say, I was cussing all you guys, and hold on just a second. I am getting a call from Appalachia. Let's see what.
Probably a pony boy.
Pony
is calling from the woods.
Hello.
Exactly.
Hi, Glenda. Your son's fine at
work. I'm sorry.
Glenn is in Appalachia now?
Well, Jim's confirming his location.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are different levels of support. There's a 25, a 35, and a 50-hour level. Which is best for you?
Go big.
What are you talking about? Is this a recording?
Oh, you've upset the mainframe.
This is how they get you. They're deprogramming your brain as we speak.
Yeah, exactly. We've lost him.
Yeah.
Weird world we live in. Yeah.
Mike, before we close...
You know, my mom said something right before the end.
What's that?
Where she says, I'm not sure it's all that bad to be leaving this kind of a world. And sometimes I feel like that, you know? Okay. Yeah, because it's just getting so weird out there.
I have a question for you, political-wise.
Yes.
I know you and I are both, when we're in the area to watch it, we watch Jeopardy and we watch Wheel.
I don't watch Wheel anymore.
You done with Wheel?
Wheel bores me.
Wheel is horrible. There's too many.
Yeah, Wheel sucks. You know why I don't watch Wheel anymore? Because I feel like Wheel is really happy about ripping off the contestants.
I agree with that. And also, there's too many variants and too many weird things going on. And if
too many variants that allow the contestants to lose.
And if they land on $1 million, they should get $1 million. Everyone picks up the $1 million thing, and no one ever gets $1 million.
If they pick the right letter, they get the, you know, this is a big letter, $1 million letter. Yeah, yeah. They should evolve. Mike, yes, go ahead.
But my question is your TV overrun with political ads, and are they getting more ridiculous?
Oh,
there is a contest right now between Jennifer Wexton and Hung Cao. And this is the greatest one. I made Carrie rewind the TiVo last night, the DVR, because one of the anti-Hung Cao ads.
TiVo? My God.
Sorry about
TiVo.
That. Sorry about that.
1998 called, Rob.
It sits heavy in my brain. But we rewound the DVR, the digital video recorder, because they were putting up all the quotes of his missteps. And they said, and Hung Cao wants to punch Dr. Fauci in the face. And I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
Crazy times.
And it
everybody.
Really stuck with me. I said, I know he had to have said it in jest because it's not like that's going to be a plank in his platform, but yeah. It's just. That's where we're at right now. Well, yeah, don't vote for him because he wants to punch him.
The other guy's evil. Yeah. So
Mike,
weird.
Let's end on a high note.
I'd like to watch myself of this conversation.
I just sent you all a Halloween TikTok.
Internet.
Bitcoin. That I thought was that Shannon shared with me.
Yes.
And I thought would get a good laugh. I need you to watch it first, and then we can explain it to the audience.
Okay.
All right. Mike, you can turn the volume up.
But remember, you got to hold it down so you get the big guy.
Let's let him watch it first.
That's fine.
Is that the text I just sent you?
This one?
Yeah, you got to hold it down. Why don't you make it big on your phone by just putting your thumb on the picture?
This, all right.
Here we go.
Midnight. The shower. Are the guy's in the shower?
No, the wife is in the shower. She's going to scare
and
her
he's
husband.
Outside with a mask.
No.
Her husband's in the shower?
She's in the mask, in the shower. She's hiding to scare her husband when he comes home from work. And she's in the bathroom. I thought this would be right up your alley.
Is he banging?
No, he's going to the restroom.
Oh, he's pooping. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She thinks he's in the shower. Yeah. And then she covers her face. All right. I get it.
Those sounds were unhuman. I haven't heard a sound like that since we got a call from Appalachia.
That, it didn't translate through the microphone that well, but I'll do it one more time if you can hear it. I'll press it. That is some kind of gas attack.
Yeah, that's got to be fajitas. What do you
good
think?
Good Lord. Kind of put the kibosh on her whole thing. Hey, before we break, I want to mention something, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 1st. It's the day you've been waiting for. TMOS Live 2023 in New Orleans happens April 15th. Stop yelling, I'm reading copy here. But general ticket sales start today.
Yes.
Yes, today at 5 p.m. Eastern. 5 p.m. Mark it on your calendar or your watch or your TikTok or your Bitcoin. Tickets will go fast, so get yours right now.
When?
Right now.
Thank you.
If you want to be part of the best weekend of the year, make sure you head to MikeOMareShow.com today and snag your tickets. You don't want to miss out on the heralded return of TMOS Live as we hit the historic stage of the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're ready to go. Laughs, partying, surprises, and all of your TMOS family. We want to see you there for the greatest dysfunctional family reunion you ever saw. We're going to be there Saturday, April 15th, but we'll be walking around Friday, and you'll probably bump into us and hang out with us all night. It's a weekend you may not remember, but one that you'll never forget. Get it? TMOS Live, April 15th, 2023, in New Orleans. Tickets for sale this afternoon at 5 p.m. Where do they go? MikeOMareShow.com?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get them. Tabs right there.
Don't delay. Ticket today.
That's how I wanted you to read it.
Don't delay. Ticket today. I saw it. Chauchelais. That's an Inglourious Bastards. C'est à voir, Chauchelais. He decides not to shoot her. Anyway, weird. This is a weird day. Very weird day. We've got a weird homepage coming up, too.
Oh, good.
With lots of interesting things. And I'll try to lighten the mood. I just needed to get that off my chest. Sorry.
It's
if
important.
I don't say
it's all good.
It,
it's
who
important.
The hell is going to say it?
Right.
Okay? Grow up, people. And grow a set.
What?
We'll take a break. You can trace the origin of our incivility back to Shock Jocks. We'll be right back.
This week, it's a star-studded bonus show with 60 minutes of today's top stars.
What's the impression that you get of Quentin Tarantino?
Hey, I know she makes good cut.
Scott Pelley.
I'll have a turkey on wheat.
And do you
you have any light mayonnaise?
Can you do Brad Pitt?
No.
What's the impression that you get of Steve Harvey?
What is the second thing you'd kiss besides a man's lips?
You do James Caan, right?
For God's sakes, if I had a wartime consigliere, this wouldn't be happening.
Can you give me an impression of Al Roker?
That's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Except no imitations. There's only one TMOS bonus show. Try one episode
better than it was.
A month or a year subscription at MikeOmaraShow.com.
We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Wow. Man, oh man, those guys. Jim Amato, Mark Riddell, just
machines.
Flying on.
Yes, machines.
The best.
Good Lord, we are lucky to have them. You guys rock. Hey, from the first moment I saw a pair of Rothys, I said, wow, those are cool looking shoes.
Oh,
and I tried them on. Look at that. Rob's got them on right now.
I love it.
Yes.
Immediate comfort, no break-in period required. When we found out that they're made with 100% recycled materials, we were sold. Whether it's the driving loafer, the RS01 sneaker, you're going to love them too. That's not the driving loafer or the RS01 sneaker. That is the boot.
That is the boot. Oh, what is the name of the boot? Let me find the name of the boot. I forget the name of the boot, but I love it. You'll see it on the front page.
The free boot.
Rothy's just launched two brand new sneaker styles. The RS02, a more relaxed lace-up that's like a t-shirt for your feet. And the City Slip-On Sneaker. I'm going to get that.
Yes.
A refined slip-on.
Yeah.
And it's finally in a men's size range. No wonder Rothy's best-selling men's shoes get a 5-star review from almost every customer. To top it all off, Men's Health named the RS01 Sneaker one of the top 3 sustainable sneakers during their 2022 Sneaker Awards.
Mike, it's the Chelsea boot.
The Chelsea boot is
fantastic. Great. It's so good.
Since Rothy's are machine washable, your Rothy's will stay looking brand new forever. This season, find out why people fall hard for Rothy's with new shoes, bags, and more for everybody. You can snag something for yourself or someone you love for a limited time. Get $20 off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/TMOS. That's $20 off at Rothy's.com/TMOS. And we thank you, everybody.
Mike,
yes.
Mike, I know you have the homepage, but you mentioned Shock Jocks.
Yes.
Last night, this morning, I texted Rob, early morning, I don't want to see what time it was, to remind him about something for the show. And then I jump in an Uber to head home, like a little after 2 a.m.
Right. That's about right.
Because we have a big ESPN production this afternoon. I want to make sure everything is right. We had a crew here.
Luckily, I got up and saw it because I had to pee because I'm old.
Me too, pal.
I know.
I'm right there with you.
So I jump in. At that time of night, I'm not walking home or scooting home.
No.
I'm actually going to take a car, which is safer.
Yes.
And I get in this black car, and the gentleman's like, my friend, I wasn't expecting somebody to come out of the office. I thought it would be a trick-or-treater or someone coming from the bar. And I said, no.
Was he relieved that he didn't
he
have
so
a,
happy
you know,
that
a child or a drunken maniac?
I had my work
his...
bag.
Right.
Like, I looked like I was a little tired, but we got a lot of work done. It was great.
Did you see any more? I loved you talking about looking out the window and seeing the revelers. Did you see any on the streets last
night?
Hardcore
raging alcoholics, because it was raining.
Oh, it was the worst
Halloween.
It was storming. Yes.
So if you were going to go out in that, you had to get your fix.
A lot of soggy guys out there. Soggy doggies.
Yeah, you guys get the same weather as Philly. That's why the game was postponed last night.
The gentleman's like, what do you do, sir? I was like, we get to do podcasts, media. Like, I don't. Not a lot of small talk at that time in the morning.
You're sleepy. Right.
He goes, you're a media type. I said, kind of. He goes, you want to hear something funny? And he's got an accent. And I said, sure.
Bored.
I said, sure. He goes, I had this. He said, you're probably famous because you're not telling me who you are. I'm like, not famous. Thank you. He goes, I had somebody who thought they were famous and he got mad at me. And I said, who's that? He goes, well, he jumped in my car. He was with two young colleagues, and he said, you probably know who I am. And I said, well, the gentleman that would say you probably know who I am probably isn't famous.
Right.
And I said,
he's right.
Yeah, and he said, right. He goes, I don't know, sir. He goes, I'm on television. He goes, how do you not know who I am? And then I was like, oh, well, who was it? And I don't have a long trip. This is a long story,
right? I was
going
to say, you should be home.
I
want
to hear it. I'm dying to know if he found out.
Do you know a gentleman named Sean Hannity?
Oh, no.
No, he had Hannity in his cab.
He did, and he knew who he was, and Hannity was irate that he didn't know who he was.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Great.
And with two young gentlemen, huh? It was two young gentlemen.
No, it was one of like, his younger co-workers. Like,
oh, his younger co-workers.
I think he was trying to show off.
Yeah. That was your pull. He has a place down here. We hang out together all the time.
That's really nice.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's
from
good.
The four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yesterday's Halloween episode of The View included a segment called Boo Are You Wearing?
Ooh.
Oh, this it's a pun.
I give you this story. I love puns.
I know you do.
I give you this story because the writer's room at The View, I think The View is a solid enterprise, truly solid enterprise.
Yeah.
The format's worked for years and years. There's a reason for that. But, you know, when they veer off and start, you know, going into the late night talk show biz, they miss terribly. All
yes.
right. So Boo Are You Wearing? First of all, it featured kids in Halloween costumes. You would say,
this is Letterman's okay. old bit.
Right, yeah, it's Letterman's old bit, yeah. and he did it well because he had a, you know, Ivy League writer's room
funny stuff.
Of funny guys based on some of this year's hot topics. So here's what happened. One of the costumes may have been a bit inappropriate. A kid came out dressed as an Oscar statue with a red handprint on its cheek, on his cheek. So it was like the Oscar with a red handprint,
yeah, with,
you know, for the Will Smith.
Slap, yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
I bet that came from the mind of Bihar. Behar.
Joy Bihar.
Bihar.
The show's wardrobe supervisor, TV.
Great gig. Yeah.
Tried to head off the controversy right off the bat by saying, quote, "We do not want to endorse violence of any kind, but we couldn't help but talk about one of the hottest hot topics this year."
Yeah, it was really hot 2 months ago.
Some Twitter users complained anyway, saying it was in bad taste and did endorse violence. I just think they get thumbs down because it wasn't funny.
Yeah,
it just wasn't
it's
funny.
Schtick. Yeah. Unless you saw Chris Rock at filming a Netflix special when he addressed it and you felt special.
Oh,
so here's
name
what
drop.
Else they did.
Yes,
they also brought out a kid dressed as Donald Trump, complete with a toilet stuffed with classified documents.
Ha 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 ha!
Duh, duh. And flanked by two FBI agents.
Oh, good. It's a triple.
Yeah. Sorry, View. Stop doing
they
that.
They did a very
Don't
funny They did a Stop very funny View sketch on Saturday Night Live this weekend, and one of the core jokes was that Joy Behar and Whoopi just ignored the other two hosts and wouldn't let them talk at
That's
all.
Funny.
It was great.
So are you coming around on the new cast a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. They had a pretty good episode this week. I like
all right.
it, yeah.
You stick with it. Yeah. I'll give you credit for that. Taylor Swift continues to break records with her latest album. It's called Midnights. She became the first artist to take over the entire top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Yeah.
The first to do it?
Pretty amazing. Yeah. All 20 of her the album's songs landed in the Hot 100.
I thought Rupert Holmes did that.
Do you like Pina Colada's one song, Rob?
Him.
Really one
he
song.
Like,
that's
him.
Kudos to you for picking the definitive one-hit wonder. Absolutely. The didn't he have another one?
Yeah, him.
Yeah, only I would remember
no,
that.
No, it's great. It's about a guy who finds a pack of cigarettes and they're not his brand, so he knows the wife is cheap. He must have loved unhappy marriages.
Yeah, that's right. They want to cheat each other on each other and they find out it's the same person.
Yeah, and they end up boning in a sand lot. It's great.
Taylor Swift also has the most top 10 songs for a female artist, 40 overall. She beat out Madonna with 38. But for overall artists, she is second to Drake, who has 59.
Wow.
I need a Swiftie, not right now. It's a busy week, to break down.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Is a Swiftie the name for Taylor Swift's fans?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't. There are so many plot arcs within her new album.
Yes.
One is directly with the gentleman named Scooter Braun who bought her masters.
Yeah, yeah. And she had to re-record her entire back catalog if she wanted to sell her old songs again.
Really?
Because she lost them, yeah.
Yeah, so it's alleged that with one of her songs that she gave Scooter Braun's now soon-to-be ex-wife the information that he was cheating on her.
Oh, yes. Nasty, nasty. Yeah.
Wow.
Has anyone heard the music? Because I have, and I don't pay attention to that kind of thing.
The songs are phenomenal.
They're solid.
They're good, good songs. Yeah. All right, good for her.
And I know how Madonna has probably replied by putting herself nude. Was it on Twitter that she put the topless picture of herself?
Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
And she doesn't even look like
No, that is plastic surgery.
I could not recognize her
face. She looks like one of those women that tries to turn into Barbie.
Yes.
You know, when they do the level of extensive plastic surgery.
I genuinely couldn't recognize her.
I still like the... And isn't Madonna, is what, 70 now or something like
She's
that?
She's going to be 100 next week.
That's funny, yeah. Still like the picture.
It was a fine picture.
Yeah. Game 3 of the World Series postponed last night due to rain in Philadelphia. It'll take place tonight. Instead, Houston Astros pitcher Justin Verlander going viral. He provided some entertainment for the locals. This is funny. Philadelphia fans, notorious for their abusive behavior.
Sure.
When the team bus rolled up to Citizens Bank Park yesterday, the fans were waiting, and Justin Verlander flipped him the bird.
Hey, thanks, Justin.
I love it.
Through the window. That's just so childish and funny. Mm. Here I am talking about civility, and he does this, but, you know, come on.
Sports. I mean, it's sports, and he's not attacking anybody.
Then when he stepped off the bus, he gave them another one. And, of course, in typical Philadelphia fashion, they loved it.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, they wouldn't love that. He flipped us off. That's awesome. That's great.
And you know what? Applause and kudos to DirecTV, who on Channel 105 last night had a beautiful 4K image that said the game has been canceled.
Oh, I was excited because I turned it on, and then they tell me, switch over to 4K and gonzo.
Did you see game two? I watched some of game two.
No, that was
going to
be the first game I was going to watch in its entirety.
It was gorgeous. It really looked amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be fun. A study a while back found 4-second workouts might be enough to counteract all the sitting we do, which makes this new study sound a little less exciting, but both are really saying the same thing. Scientists at the University of Sydney.
Good night. Oi. Here we go, right? Hey, Sydney. Welcome to the University of Sydney.
I'm sorry. I always get my South African dialect to my Australian dialect confused.
If you Venn diagrammed it, there's an overlap. It's fine.
Yeah, well, my welcome to the University of Sydney.
They say just 2 minutes of exercise a day can extend your life. They spent years tracking 70,000 people aged 40 to 70 using activity trackers like Fitbit. And people who got just 15 minutes of vigorous exercise a week, that's about 2 minutes a day, were 18% less likely to die over the next 5 years. So there's that. I guess you can break it up any way you want to.
Sitting for too long, like, that's the new cancer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Yeah.
I almost feel like...
Hasn't resonated with me yet, though.
You know? I almost feel like Fitbit should go in our TikTok thing. TikTok,
you stroking
internet.
Out there a little
no,
bit?
No,
you
no, no.
Maybe,
no,
maybe was, a little less sitting for you with
I was
that.
Trying
you
know? To, I was trying to play. So TikTok, internet.
Bitcoin. That's what we do here.
Fitbit.
Why don't we... Let's do it. Since it's better to go in threes.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, TikTok. TikTok, internet. We gotta subtract one. What's it gonna be?
We Bitcoin, kill internet. Bitcoin. We gotta kill TikTok. Bitcoin.
It's not a hot thing
Bitcoin.
Anymore.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So it'll be TikTok, internet, Fitbit.
Fitbit.
It's gonna be tough to remember that one. Funny. All right. TikTok,
internet,
Fitbit.
Thank you. Anyway, 2 minutes and 40 seconds of
pros.
Exercise.
Yeah.
What it adds up to. So according to both studies, just 2 to 3 minutes a day might help.
Could I exercise for an hour and then stay in bed for 20 days?
Any way you get there, Rob.
Okay,
Any
thanks.
Any way you get there. Right. A source close to Gisele
Bündchen
says she's doing fine in light of her divorce from Tom Brady, in part because she's accustomed to doing things on her own. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
With the divorce, quote, the source, Gisele is dealing with issues that have been plaguing her for a long time. That's a source close to Bündchen, tells People magazine. The source explains that the split from Brady was hard at first for Bündchen, but enough time has passed and she's settling in. Well, she's lovely. I mean, she's not going to be
Didn't she issue another statement about tumbleweeds?
Yeah, she did. Thank you, Rob. Cue the tumbleweed. Gisele Bündchen was, you know, getting over her marriage from Tom Brady by just dealing with a lot of unwieldy tumbleweeds.
I don't know what we're going to do, how we get ready of those tumbleweeds. It's horrible.
Thank you, Giselle. The mother of two has lived on her own for years while Tom played football.
More like tumbleweeds.
Tumble. So she's not afraid to do things by herself. Tumbleweeds.
That's funny. Horrible.
Yeah. Well, did they bother you, Giselle?
I don't know what we're going to do, how we get ready of those tumbleweeds. Okay. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
And now we'll hit the thingy. Thank you. I can't do it.
There you go.
Now a little something-something. According to a new survey of 2,000 U.S. parents with children between the age of 3 and 15, two-thirds of respondents have stolen candy that their kids collected while trick-or-treating. It usually isn't just one or two pieces of candy either. Among parents who admitted stealing the candy, the average respondent ate a full third of their child's Halloween candy haul. A third of it.
In one night?
The 2019 survey put together by Spinbrush. I don't know what
that website is. Oh, I live on their website. It's great.
It also reveals that a shocking 59% of parents have even hidden Halloween candy from their kids. This is completely unacceptable. And I promise I'll try not to do it next year.
Mike, I was like, seriously,
Oscar, I was like a thief.
Yeah.
I was like a cat burglar. Yeah. Carla had gone to bed with the door open like she does.
Of course.
And she can hear me. And I am opening the Reese's peanut
in
butter
the dark.
Cup.
Yeah.
In the dark, so carefully. It was terrible. You wanted to say something.
I just said, this is the season for... You know what it tastes like, but in your mind, you're like, I should probably taste that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Two Reese's peanut butter cups, a miniature Hershey bar, and Kit-Kat.
I'm glad you left. You know what? You were a good dad. You left him the Laffy Taffy.
Yo, yeah. That's garbage. We'll be right back.
Hey, come here. Buy from Vince's Dyer Warehouse and get free gumballs.
Anybody can sell you what they think you want, but if you need new tires for your ride or the sweet, satisfying pick-me-up of a gumball, you can't miss shopping online through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. Target and Walmart has what you're looking for. Have it shipped to your door or pick it up at the store. You can't lose because you help support TMOS. And here's something else to chew on.
Gumballs and tires, he can't miss. Trust me. Get out of there.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is a busy time of year, and the last thing you need is having to run out at the last minute to some overpriced drugstore just because you ran out of razors. The solution? Harry's. I got my order on the way. I'm waiting for my new razors. I'm so excited. They deliver right to your door, so you never need to worry. I'm a Harry's guy for life. We all are. Amazing price point, blades that never seem to get dull, and the best shaving cream and body wash on the planet. Right now, you can get your Harry's starter set for just $3. You owe it to yourself to try this. Plus, you'll get a free travel-size body wash. The set includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. A $16 value for just $3. Just visit harrys.com/TMOS. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction rating in the shaving industry, and I can understand why. They're still offering a no-risk trial. They can because it's great. Don't like your shave? No worries on them. No matter how busy things get, you can stay fresh with Harry's. Get your Harry's starter set today, and you'll also get a free travel-sized body wash. Just go to harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS. You know, whenever you give me a little show prep at the beginning of this program and you mention food, you've got me, because Oscar wants to talk about one of the great sandwiches, one of the great Sammies of America, and I don't know what it's about.
Sammy. You're better than that.
Oh, stop it. Sandwich.
Sandwich. I mean, because it's not as Sammy.
Isn't it a sub?
It is. But I mean, but there's not even an M in sandwich. So you really shouldn't say Sammy.
In Connecticut, we called them grinders.
Yes. Nice. Yes, that's and true. That
but you want to talk about cheesesteak? What is Hoagies. Going on with this right now?
Friday. Dateline 4:30 p.m.
Yes.
I walk into Rob's office. He said, hey, I'm going to get.
Actually, it would technically be Dateline Friday, 4:30 p.m.
That's Foreigner. Damn it.
Great band.
Okay, so Friday Dateline or Dateline Friday?
Dateline Friday, 4:30 p.m.
Let me try that again.
Okay.
Dateline Friday, 4:30 p.m. Better? Thank you.
And here are the guys.
I walk into Rob's office and I said, Rob, I know that you are on the healthy train you're fighting for your life, but I'm ordering cheesesteaks for the crew. We had a Friday, as you know, in this great world of work from home, there's like five people.
Not a lot.
Left. Yeah. That's including Rob and myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to buy these guys dinner and the gals dinner.
Oscar's that's really good like that. He does this.
He is. You got to give him credit where credit's due.
So I had a hankering for a cheesesteak. And I said, Rob, would you like him? He goes, no, I have my carrots and just a sad womp womp. But you know who wanted a cheesesteak? Rob Ford, Dan O'Brien, one of our team members, Lanika. I definitely want one. We're good, right?
I mean, I don't know many people that could turn that down. I mean, it's a great American sandwich.
It's one of the best. Did Dan O'Brien ask for two to take one home?
No, he didn't. He was very gracious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I go on my little Postmates app and I order them.
Did you know where you were going to order them when you started just typed this in, Odyssey?
I wanted options. I knew I couldn't get delivery because
what cheesesteak
on a Friday afternoon in any city, it's going to take forever to get to you.
Sure.
So I was like, what's close? They said, well, there's roughly one less than a mile away. I can walk less than a mile and pick up the food and bring it back for the team.
Sure.
As they're grinding away on their work.
Get your steps in.
Yeah.
Good.
Good to go. So I order it and it says order from Pardon My Cheesesteak. I'm like, oh, that's a clever name. I know the podcast, Pardon My Take.
Yeah.
And through the grapevine, Mike, I'd heard that Pardon My Take had become somewhat of
Pardon My Cheesesteak?
Yeah, that they rolled out this Pardon My Cheesesteak through Ghost Kitchens.
Okay, now you should give us a thumbnail of what a Ghost Kitchen is.
A Ghost Kitchen is, my understanding, I could be wrong.
And they're great for Halloween, by the way.
Is someone utilizing the infrastructure of a kitchen, but selling another brand through it.
Ah, okay.
Give me that one more time, please, because I'm confused.
Say O'Mara's, when you owned O'Mara's.
Yeah.
And before, you didn't have...
Stop it.
If you were connected to the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You guys had a website. I remember that.
Right.
It was a great website.
I hypothetically, if you were the chosen few, could have ordered this Pardon My Cheesesteak if you were affiliated with this podcast.
You just made a pun. You didn't even know it.
I could have possibly ordered it through O'Mara's and on the app, on these apps, all of these food apps, it would have shown me that the restaurant was located inside your restaurant. So I'm ordering.
So they're using the O'Mara's kitchen to sell food under another name.
Correct, correct. Yeah. Ghost Kitchen.
I don't understand.
Okay.
I mean,
beautiful foliage.
So did you have a pastry? You had a pastry.
I don't understand.
you had a pastry person come by and you had local pastries, right?
We had a lady that made desserts for a very short time. They were the best desserts.
What was her name?
Huh?
Do you remember her name?
Hoda.
Okay. Well, how about this? Sarah's Cupcakes.
Yeah.
Sarah's Cupcakes.
Oh, okay.
Imagine.
So O'Mara's outsources Pardon My Cheesesteak and sells it under our heading.
No, they say that the reverse.
Right.
It's the reverse of that.
So Pardon My Cheesesteak sells it as O'Mara's Cheesesteak.
No, you're just using your kitchen, and then I would go to O'Mara's.
Here's a more tangible thing. When we do our fruitcakes, which, by the way, stay tuned, announcements forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're going to do it after
we actually use the kitchen of another cake company.
Yeah.
But we use their equipment, we use their kitchen, we use their real estate.
And you make the Pardon My Cheesesteak sandwiches.
And that's right.
In the O'Mara's kitchen, that's where they're manufactured.
Right, but they're still sold as Pardon My Cheesesteak.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay.
All right, so it's kind of like a franchise, but not a franchise.
Yes. Right. And you don't have the overhead
All the meat, all the cheese, the buns, they come to O'Mara's kitchen, they
Onions,
assemble them there.
Yeah. Peppers.
Correct.
Cheese whiz.
I'm on the website for Pardon My Cheesesteak.
Okay, so I go... And this isn't clicking in my head. I was like, is this? And I know it's Barstool Sports for all. I get it. Fine. I'm out of the loop. I should know this. I remember reading an article in August when they announced this. It just wasn't top of mind.
Right.
You know where I had to go once I put the order through, which, by the way, not cheap. I had to go to Buca de
Beppo.
De Beppo. So they're like located inside Buca di Beppo. This is what my app says.
So when it gives you the address, it's Buca di Beppo's address?
It says located inside Buca di Beppo.
Oh, wow.
I've never.
So Buca di Beppo is like slinging their Italian food for their patrons. But meanwhile, the kitchen's also being used to send out this other stuff.
Yes. Genius.
Okay.
It's like a Mr. Beast burger.
Where does, now I see part of my take at the bottom of their website.
These Barstool Sports.
God, he's somebody that ought to go on a diet.
No, well, they're monsters. They're monsters in the industry. Like they're multi-million out.
He's a big man. He's a member of the big man.
Multi-millionaires tenfold, right?
Yeah, do you think he actually sits on a bar stool?
Is that a sports?
It's a sports thing? Podcast. Yeah. It's from Barstool Sports.
All
yes.
All right.
It's one of their podcasts. And I walk to Buca di Beppo and I walk in and I've never been in the restaurant before. And I go to this like little pickup window.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got a nice little setup there.
Yeah. And right. I said, is pardon my cheesesteak here? Cause I don't know how this works.
You don't know how it's working.
Yeah,
this whole ghost
works.
Kitchen.
Yeah,
concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, he waves at me. He goes, yeah, right over here. Like I'm doing. And I was like,
Like it's a secret.
And I'm like, okay. And I walk around like the little, I'm not picking up the window. I'm walking around. He's like, here are your bags. Like I felt like I was doing a drug deal. And so he gives me the bags with the little sticker and it looks, everything's great. And I said,
yeah,
okay. Like the fries in there, like making sure everything's right. He goes,
right.
Yeah. Like he's like, I'm literally the back burner girl. He's sneaking out the back door. Like,
yeah. This must be done with a lot of businesses. By the way, is this the part in my cheesesteak mode of operation that they do this all over the country?
Yeah, it's a new like Mr. Beast burger.
It's a way for great restaurant concepts or food concepts to cut down on the overhead.
Genius.
Exactly.
And so what's the result?
Quick sidebar. I'm like, hey, can I get some ketchup for my fries? He's like, we don't have ketchup. And like, shoot me out. So then I stop by.
Get your own ketchup. Sorry, pal.
Stop by.
You know, we have marinara sauce. Don't have ketchup. Get out. Get out. Get out. Be happy with your effing cheese.
Be happy. You know, we have a menu too.
Keep your voice down.
I walk out, stop by 7-Eleven, grab some ketchup because I know the crew would want some ketchup. Walk back.
Packets?
Bring them back. No, the full like.
Oh, attaboy. Guy, Rockefeller.
And why would I get packets from 7-Eleven?
I'd be free.
So
free.
I bring them back and I paid full price. I'm here to tell you the best cheesesteaks I've ever had in my life.
They looked gorgeous.
Really?
Rob
yes.
Ford, stamp of approval. Dan O'Brien, stamp of, and he's Jersey, so you know he's picky. Stamp of approval. Lanika walked by because she was still working. She ate at her desk. She comes through. She's like, I just want to tell you that was the best cheesesteak I've ever had in my life. And then went home.
Gone.
And it's all from the overhead at Buca di Beppo with their kitchen, sneaking it out there.
Top notch.
Connected to a podcast.
Yes.
We got to come up with something. That's
what we did. Fruitcakes. We beat them to it.
Fruitcakes. Yeah, we did it with a ghost kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
We just got to scale up.
You just make your fruitcakes now at Olive Garden or something like that. That's
Italian
what we'll
fruitcakes.
Absolutely. This is lovely. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the Spelling Bee right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Who is the captain now?
Hi.
My name is.
Huh?
My name is.
What?
My name is.
Rob Spiewak.
Excuse me. Can I have the attention of the audience for 1 second? Hi, kids. You see, now he's real skinny, but he used to be fat. He works with Pony, but he calls him Matt. He raps on the podcast about this and that. Adjusts the thermostat with a baseball bat. I don't know. What the f*** was Rob thinking with that every night drinking? Nearly killed his liver swimming in a vodka lemonade river. Thinking about it makes me shiver. I'm talking about Spiewak. Now he's on the right track, but here comes the blowback. So you're a big spender. Use the show shopping center. Click the banner to order. Get yourself a recorder. MichaelMaraShow.com is the website to click on. Let's troubles be bygone. The conclusion is foredrawn. What time does the show come on?
Don't forget, shop online through the TMOS portal by clicking the banner at MichaelMaraShow.com. A little something for you and a little something for them. Click it now, you fools.
Hi.
My name is.
Huh?
My name is.
What?
What?
What? Oh, I love this turn. I love this song.
Great.
I love this song. I wish those days. Oh, yes, sir. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you doing? Day after Halloween. Hope you had a fantastic time. Playing a little Dress Up, WAVA. Oh, it's got another host. That's always exciting, too. I can hit two posts. I'm a professional. WAVA.
Oh, you know what? Post. It's an instrumental that? Because
oh, it's a continuous loop.
Because it's the bad,
I hate it when you do that. Hey, a recent report shows that consumer debt-like interest rates has increased to historic numbers. With the home equity that many homeowners currently have, it's a good time to consider tapping into that equity to save money every month. According to my good friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, just because you have low interest rates doesn't mean you shouldn't refinance and take cash out to save money. And if you were to wrap in a car loan, credit card, student loans, you can save hundreds, if not thousands, per month. Even with a higher interest rate, if cash flow relief is the priority and you want to get your head above water,
hello, I'm not above water, and I need to get my head above water. I'm drowning in debt.
The rate is irrelevant. Credit cards and second mortgages are in the double digits, and in some cases, the cash out is tax deductible. Call now to check out what these guys can do for you, because they're the best. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial today. The number one rated mortgage company of all TMOS listeners, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. That was interesting. I really feel educated, Oscar. I feel as though I you know, when I'm asking that many questions, and it's because I really want to know and not just be like some local news reporter that goes, oh, okay, yeah, let's move on, even though I don't know what you're talking
about.
There
was something that Ghost Kitchen, I first heard about it. It was something to do with Chipotle. Didn't Chipotle do something with a Ghost Kitchen during the pandemic?
Well, Ghost Kitchens are, it's not exclusive to these big brands.
Right. But I think they were licensing their kitchen is the thing.
They may have.
That's what I remember.
Because you're looking at, if you have.
Oh my God, do they have locations?
Oh yeah, it's a monster. That's why I was like, this is no laughing matter. It's game changing.
Yeah.
It's a multi-hundred, probably the valuation of Barstool, which is now owned by Penn Gaming.
Yeah.
I think it's multi-hundred million dollar.
They've got great content. Yeah. They really do. Yeah, and I'm not
East
even a
Coast
sports guy.
East Coast and Central Florida here. Yeah, this is such a ghost town when it comes to speaking
you
of ghost
have
kitchens.
You should have
this
a ghost
This is a ghost
kitchen.
Town yeah. for food. Come on. How about my side of the state? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
That's all right. Do you want to play a spelling bee?
I do. I want to play spelling bee.
Okay,
I'm
very
just looking.
Good.
I like this stuff. Ain't going to drive to Sarasota. Ain't going to drive up to Sarasota to get me the cheese on. No, thank you.
I tell you what, though. If you drive to Sarasota, bring your own ketchup.
The Villages has one.
Oh,
a ghost kitchen.
Of course.
That's funny.
Mike, one of my.
Let's go, Brandon. How's my cheese stick?
What have I told you for years? People are stupid all over the world.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So, what I have here are the top 10 misspelled words in the United States.
Oh, here we go.
Canada.
Oh, I thought you were going to test me.
I am.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, United Kingdom and Australia. Pick one of these locations and see if you can spell the words that they misspell.
Australia.
Australia it is, Mike. Let's go to that. Now, this is good. There's a lot of overlap as you go from place to place, but this is the list exclusive to Australia.
I'm ready.
83.7% of Australians misspell the word coolie.
No, it's
coolie?
Easy.
Coolie. Like, I act, his manner... He behaved very coolly towards the situation.
C-O-O-L-Y.
I got it.
Oscar?
By the way, our attorney is with Cooley LLP.
Yes.
Like,
And Chris Cooley owns a pottery
took,
studio.
Took DraftKings.
It's same
Republic.
Spelling, too.
C-O-O-L-E-Y.
No, you both are like Australians. The correct spelling, Coolly. Two L's in Cooley.
Ah, okay.
Our Cooley's
I get
better.
It. Right. I get it. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it, Jim.
I would like to see a kid like that at the Scripps Howard spelling bee. Damn it.
I don't know which I'm more upset about. That, you know, I got the word wrong or that, you know, part of my cheesesteak doesn't have any locations in the Fort Myers area. Have a heart. We had a hurricane, for Christ's sake.
They should open up a ghost kitchen at the Rhea.
So many locations.
Can you imagine
too.
Going to the Rhea, Mike, and getting your margaritas and a cheesesteak?
Altamont Springs, Boca Raton, Boynton Beach, Coral Springs, Donia
He's
Beach.
He's like a bloodhound.
Damn, please. Yeah.
Is this going to end up with you getting a cheesesteak today that you're going to be dissatisfied
this
with?
This is probably ending up with me with an hour and a half drive today.
Okay. Gas it up, honey.
Nom, nom, nom,
38.2% of Australians misspelled the word minuscule. Spell minuscule.
M-I-N-E-S-C-U-L-E.
Oscar, minuscule.
Minuscule. M-I-N-E-S-C-U-L-E.
You both spelled it the same. You both spelled
it incorrectly.
Wrong. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Then I'm going to do a second one. Okay. All right.
Use it in a sentence.
M-I-N-I-S-C-U-L-E.
Minuscule. That's wrong.
Let me try in a sentence.
All right.
I had a minuscule penis.
I had a funny guy.
What?
A guy I'm playing golf with the other day. I was talking about Irish. Yeah, I don't want anybody going near the mushroom. He said, hey, the magic mushroom. That was funny. How do you spell minuscule?
Minuscule, think of the word minus. M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E. But you're right, keeping track. You're very
like
much
Celsius.
You're just like an Australian. 27.3% of Australians misspelled the word sergeant, as in a rank in the army. Sergeant.
S E A R G A N T.
Oscar.
I agree with that spelling.
You're both wrong. S E R G E A N T.
God damn it.
I would love some Sergeant Peppers on my cheesesteak.
Sergeant Peppers? That would be the most Beatly spice. Yeah. Oh, start the intense game show music again. 25.3%, this surprised me, misspelled protester. Mm. Protester.
P-R-O-T-E-S-T-E-R.
Oscar?
P-R-O-T-E-S-T-O-R.
Mike, you are right. Oscar
Yay!
Is wrong. Protestor is wrong. Protester is right. E-R is what's
easy. It was easy. I was sweating bullets, but it's easy.
I went with the Aussie version.
18.8% misspelled the word, and this is one that gives me trouble. Separate.
Oh, this is...
Hold on. What did Oscar say?
This is... People always... The Grammarly always gets me with this.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E.
Oscar?
Separate. I want to separate with my wife. S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E.
You both got it right. Yes. Take that,
Yay!
Australia.
We got time for a couple more, right. Rob.
And speaking of Oscar's wife, this is what she's looking for, some supersede. No, the word is supersede, and 18.8% of Australia misspelled supersede.
S-U-P-E-R-C-E-D-E.
Oscar?
Mike is superseding me in this game.
That's true, by one.
S-U-P-E-R-S-E-E, deed.
What was the last letter? Deed?
Deed.
D-E-D.
Deed.
A, B, C, deed, E, F, G. No, you both got it wrong. Mm.
What?
S-U-P-E-R-S-E-D-E. Supersede with an S.
Man.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right, one more. Last one.
How about this one? 15.2% misspelled the word drunkenness.
That's easy.
It's easier to do than it is to spell. Trust me.
D-R-U-N-K-E-N-N-E-S-S.
I agree.
That's exactly right. We go out on
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah!
Yes, sir. Yeah!
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 Big win.
All right, whatever. All right, good stuff. We're going to come back.
Mike, you're smarter than an Australian.
Remember that horrible joke, though? Yes. That, the Steve Irwin retrospective.
Not good.
Yeah, coming out on Blu-ray and Stingray. That is not. That's Bob Zaney. Thank you. We'll take a break and come right back, everybody.
Power 95. Twitch patrol lines are open. Hi, who is this?
I shouldn't tell you.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Is this Jim Amato?
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Rick Scofield?
No.
Are you Jolene White?
No.
Are you Linda Herr?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you to get tickets to the Mike O'Mara live show in New Orleans on April 15th at 8 p.m. at the House of Blues. Tickets are on sale to the general public on November 1st.
That's today.
Because of you, I'll be in New Orleans.
That's right. 5 o'clock. They go on sale. Please, sell out. Sell out. Don't give me a coronary. Hey, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show. People will try anything to lose weight. Insane workouts, eating nothing but grapefruit, questionable teas, but if you are looking for a more sustainable approach, Noom Weight is ready to help. Their psychology-based approach gives you the knowledge and support to build lasting results. Noom Weight focuses on progress instead of perfection. Progress isn't a straight line, and off days are part of the process. Noom Weight helps you get back on track. Choose your level of support from 5-minute daily check-ins to personal coaching. Noom Weight's approach is based on scientific principles that help you better understand your relationship with food. 95% of customers say Noom Weight is a good long-term solution, and active Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds in 16 weeks. I love Noom Weight because it works. Oscar loves it. I love it. Carla loves it. She's never looked better. If you are done trying everything to lose weight, then try Noom Weight. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial and do it today.
Sound Town. We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
I'm glad my kids didn't have phones when they were probably most likely to capture me on video yelling and ranting out like a dad.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-oh.
This was trending on Twitter yesterday. Many, many thousands of views.
Oh, no.
A kid
decided to torpedo their parent?
A young teenage lady who was wearing, and you should know that she's wearing an orange sweatshirt. That comes into play during the rant.
Okay.
She missed her bus, and then after she woke up her dad to take her to school because she missed her bus, she forgot her backpack. And her dad did not react well to this.
Yeah, I'm with Dad so far.
And it goes like this.
I missed the bus this morning and...
Oh, it has the fake TikTok, Twitter voice. Yeah. TikTok.
Is that her?
No,
that's just setting up the
That's
clip.
The AI voice, okay.
I missed the bus TikTok. This morning and on the way to school, I realized I forgot my backpack.
Andreas?
What?
I forgot my backpack.
What?
I forgot my backpack.
There is no way in hell I'm turning this car around. Do you understand me? You better grab a rock and a chisel before you walk into that classroom, because that's what you're going to be using to take notes. You got to get your head out of your ass, and instead of focusing on looking like a traffic cone in the morning, you should be worried about getting on the bus in time instead of waking me up to take your sorry ass to school at 6 a.m.
Thank you.
Shut up.
Yes.
He did go back and get her backpack. So.
Morning time.
Yeah.
Every day.
And
fun.
He did not expect the wake up call, so he's probably a little fussy.
I like the traffic cone bit.
I did too. Yeah.
Instead of trying to look like a traffic cone going to school.
All right. This happened. I don't know where this happened, but this video went viral. And I know drinking had to be involved. I always surprise people when I tell them that I used to move furniture for a living.
Okay.
And you don't move furniture late at night. You just don't do it.
Okay.
And this family decided to move a sofa in the wee small hours.
Uh-oh.
And it got stuck. And the woman, the mom, was pinned under the sofa.
Oh, no.
For 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
For some reason, my family decided to move the couch to the basement at 10 o'clock at night. It ended up getting wedged between the railing and the wall. After about 2 hours, we knew we needed help. We called the fire department, so they came and they were able to get the railing off the wall and get the couch down to the basement and free my mom.
I've done that.
To get the couch into the stairwell, but once it was stuck, there was just no pivoting to be done.
It's bad when it happens.
I've done that with I know the size house they have. Yeah. I know the kind of couch they're trying to get down there.
Because the problem is that once it's wedged in, the weight of the couch has pushed it into that situation.
Yeah, this is when geometry comes to play.
Yeah.
Like you got to measure.
Geometry and, outside of like superhuman strength of kicking out one of the slats in the railing. Yeah.
You can't do it. And I pulled this for Oscar because the word, of course, when you're moving furniture is always pivot, isn't it?
Of course.
Pivot!
Free your mom is the funniest part.
Okay, I don't think it's going to pivot anymore.
You think?
Thank you.
You know, I know you just went through the talk with your son, but a boy a little younger asked his mom, where did his sister come from?
Where did we get a doe?
Where did we get her?
Yeah. She was in mama's tummy, bro. Where did we get a doe?
I made her.
On the table? On the table? Wait, did you put her on the table and build her?
No, she grew in my belly.
Oh. Mommy was pregnant with her.
Pregnant with her. You made her on the table.
That's sweet.
Builder.
Yeah. The cat is a peculiar animal. I think more high maintenance in many ways than a dog. And
of course.
And they're moody.
Selfish.
And when
selfish, take the breath out of you when you're sleeping.
Oh, it happens all the time. I've seen it.
Terrible.
Many dead children in my neighborhood from this.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible. They get right up on the kid's face.
And when the cat starts caterwauling, what can you do except caterwaul back at it? This guy.
Very good for Halloween, though, a caterwaul.
Yeah, this is a man caterwauling back at his own cat. And I give him credit because he sounds great. That's a man.
Oh, that's a guy making that?
Yeah, and then you can hear in the background the cat responds. You see.
That's great. So you're doing it like a Donald Duck thing, right?
Just with his mouth. I don't know.
Ooh. I can't beat that. That's fantastic.
That's an unhealthy relationship.
Send him a cheese stick.
Yes, a beautiful one. And let us close with this. I know Halloween is over, and one of my favorite things to watch for on Facebook and all the other social medias are people that do the walk of shame on the day after Halloween.
Absolutely.
I imagine we'll see some of them later today where women are walking home after they've made a friend on Halloween evening.
Yeah. Yes,
but they're still in their costume.
Yeah.
Well, this is another good... sort of an aftermath of Halloween discussed by a stand-up comic named Nick Vatterott, talking about girls on Halloween.
My favorite thing to do on Halloween, my favorite, watching these stuck-up drunk girls come out crying in their costumes. Sometimes you gotta wait 2 minutes, but one will come out, and it's so great they come out just like, oh my God, I don't even know why I'm crying. I think I ran out of things to say, but still wanted the night to revolve around me. Let me call Bethany. I'll see if she's crying. Oh my God, Bethany, are you crying? Oh my God, I'm crying too. Yeah, I don't know why either. Do you have a cigarette?
Like, that's all I got.
Any college campus in America.
Yeah, exactly right. Cigarette.
That's a fun post-Halloween show, but I'm not driving to Jupiter for a sandwich. I'm just not doing that.
You could go to the Burt Reynolds Theater.
I just can't talk myself out of it. Can't go to Lake Worth, Doral, Fort Lauderdale. Went there when I evacuated during the hurricane.
What's the closest location by your estimate?
Sarasota.
That's still pretty far.
Yeah, but doable. We got to take a break. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode. Don't forget, 5 p.m. today, tickets for our live show. The last batch go on sale. We're not doing two shows. We're doing one show.
Just the one.
So if you want to go, get your tickets starting at 5 p.m. today. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It was a video game move.
I don't know what we're going to do, how we get ready of those tumbleweeds. It's horrible.
Avocados from Mexico.